Hey guys, it's Hussein. This is another video that I have made in my YouTube channel, and I thought I would bring it to this podcast because I thought it's actually useful. This is a video I made about denial of service attacks. So I discussed the difference, what is the DOS attack, and what are the types of these attacks, and I go through them in details. I think you're gonna enjoy it, so check it out. Denial of service attacks are type of attacks on a server to prevent users from consuming a particular service on that server. Usually, most of the time actually, this is an HTTP web server. This could happen. These attacks could happen by either saturating the bandwidth of the pipe going to the server or just bringing the server down to its knees so it stopped taking requests altogether. So that was the goal of DNS, right? DNS, DOS, denial of service. In this video, we will learn about three different type of DOS attacks and explain each one of them by example. This is coming up. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Hussein, and this channel, we discuss all sorts of software engineering by example. So if you want to become a better software engineer, consider subscribing, give this video a like if you like it, and check out the other content on the channel. And with that said, let's just jump into the video, guys. So here are the three different types that we're going to discuss in this video. We're going to discuss the denial of service attack types, right? The first one is essentially the bandwidth base, right? So we're going to use essentially bandwidth base to essentially saturate the bandwidth so the server cannot accept any more requests. Bandwidth, the pipe is full, essentially. The second type is maximum connection based of DOS, right? And that's basically by allowing the server to reach its maximum number of TCP connections, so it cannot accept any more connections. And the third one, and there might be more, guys, right? But these are the one that I've noted after quite of a research, right? So the third one is a vulnerability-based DOS, right? So you know there's a zero-day vulnerability on the server, and you know about it, so you kind of manipulate that to basically take control of the server or just destroy it altogether. And finally, we're going to do a summary. Let's just jump into the there first thing, and bandwidth-based DOS, all right? So let's talk about the single way of doing DOS now, not the distributed way, just single way. And before we really discuss that, we really need to talk about this concept of bandwidth. So think of a bandwidth, guys, is like, let's assume you have like a 50 megabit per second bandwidth, right? Usually there are two, there's always this, when you subscribe, there's always two numbers, the download and the upload. And this is very critical for this video, okay? So If you have like 50, like me, I have 50 megabit per second download and upload. That means the router that connects me to the ISP can send 50 megabit in a given second. Megabit. That's a lot of data, okay? In a given second. And it also can download, right, to my router, right, and eventually to all my devices, 50 megabit per second. So that's what you need to understand. So how that happened, it could be the actual pipe, my fiber optics can only support that, obviously not. My ISP throttles me, right? Obviously, when it goes to my ISP, it's like, oh, this guy, Hussein, yeah, this guy is cheap. He got only 50 megabit, right? So that's it. He got only 50. So they throttle me, and they essentially will not allow me to send more. So just slow me down. You got an idea? All right. So download, upload speed. So that's the idea of basically bandwidth. Okay. Now, if you come to this example, for example, this is an unrealistic example, but it's one type of attacks, and it happened before. So if you have a server that has a download bandwidth of 50 megabit per second, okay, so that text, it can only, not process, take 50 megabit in a given second, and that's it. It cannot take more than that, okay? But you have a badass server here or machine that has an upload of 100 megabit per second. So guess what? So in a given second, you can send 100 megabits and the server can only process 50. So you can always see there will be some sort of a clogging in the pipe of the server, right? So what will happen here is you can send 100 megabit, obviously, okay, but the server can only process 50. So what will he will only or she will only why I am using these for the servers. Okay, so the server can only use 50 megabits per second, process that, and then in the second, it will basically process the second 50. And what will happen is in 1 second, sending 100 megabits, the server took two. So the server took double the time to process my data. Okay, this is obviously, guys, assuming the server has an endpoint to upload a file or something that takes this much data. You cannot just send this much data to the server. Server has a good preventative measure to prevent bad users from doing such things. We cannot just send 100 megabits of data just like that. Server should accept something like that, right? Yeah, there's obviously it's very, very hard to do that, but this is explaining the idea, okay? So if you keep doing that, right? If you keep doing that, what will happen is if you can send this again and again and again, right? The server will keep busy just processing you. So poor Joe over here trying to view his web page, right? Trying to view anything, and it will be blocked because guess what? The pipe is clogged with your data, right? So he's just busy. So essentially, if you take, like, for example, if you send 1 gig essentially, right? That means you send 10 of those. Well, you will take you 10 seconds, but the server will take 20, and so on. Just do it over and over again. The server will just say goodbye, right? So that's what the one first way of doing this. Obviously, it's not realistic. So the second way of doing things is just do this in a distributor manner. Not one machine, but multiple machines. This is more realistic, yeah? A client machine, which has like a decent 10 megabits per second, you know? That's like, I mean, yeah, users now have 100 megabits, let's say, yeah. And servers doesn't have much more than 1 gigabit per second. But take this scenario, for example. If you have 10 megabit per second, so that means you can only send 10 megabit per second, right? So the server, if you send that, the server can go through it really quickly. It doesn't really affect it at all. Okay. So if you're gonna say, okay, I am going to send 1 gigabyte of data to my server. So in order to do that, guess what? You cannot just shove 1 gigabyte out the door. The ISP will not allow you. Your server or your bandwidth is only 10 megabytes. So guess what? It's gonna break it down into 110 megabits, right? And then just start sending them one by one. So it takes you 1 second to send each, right? But the server can just go through them like there's no tomorrow, right? So even if you send this gigabit, right, the server will not be saturated, right? So what do we do? Multiplied by 100 users, right? So 100 times 10, that's 1 gig, right? If 100 users, these are obviously not 100, okay? Just in case, just telling you. I cannot draw 100 computers here. I tried, this is a lot of work, guys. Okay, and it's like 100 computers sending 10 megabit per second equals to 1 gig, obviously, right? So if you send these 1 gig, the server will take 1 second. You, as a group of 100, will take 1 second, assuming you sent this concurrently. In the same second, you agreed. It says, hey, guys, let's do it right now. 1, 2, 3. Okay, and then you send this 10 megabits per second, right? 100 users, and then you just... The server will be busy processing this 100, right, or the gig of data that just received from multiple users, and poor Joe over here trying to watch Philip DeFranco on the the site just goes down, right? So it cannot view web because the pipe is clogged. Even if it's 1 gig, it's clogged because you performed a distributed attack, essentially. So guys, servers have very good preventative measure to kind of prevent these kind of things from happening. But, you know, if the server sees you doing like a lot of server, sending a lot of information, it will essentially block you, right? It will just say, you know what, you don't look like a good guy. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna block you, right? So it does a lot of preventative measure to prevent DOS, but DOS still can happen. What's the other type of this? How can not using bandwidth, can I still bring the server down or deny service of other poor users? Yes, you can. So here's the deal, guys. So we talked about HTTP on this channel. We talked about TCP. We talked about UDP. And HTTP essentially establishing like a web page. If you connect to a server and it says, hey, okay, google.com, give me your web page. Get, right? If you do a get, under the hood, this is a TCP connection. And we talked about TCP and UDP. I'm going to reference the video here. TCP versus UDP. Please go ahead and watch it. It is. You're gonna really understand what is the difference. If you really understand, that's great. But this is the idea of TCP. It is a stateful protocol, and we also talk about what is the difference between stateful and stateless. Go watch that video as well. I'm gonna reference it here. So because of it's stateful, that means the server needs to keep some sort of a state in memory, in RAM, about its clients. So it keeps like information that, hey, I have one TCP connection here. I have one TCP connection, and keeps several information about the server. So there's some CPU cycles, there's some RAM associated, there are some resources that is associated with each TCP connections. Obviously, server says, okay, with every user, I'm gonna establish TCP connection. I cannot just keep establishing TCP connection forever because I have limited resources. Obviously, the server doesn't have unlimited memory, right? It doesn't have unlimited CPU. So what it does, it sets a cap of the maximum number of connections so it doesn't run out of memory, okay? So that's in a nutshell, that's why we have a maximum connection. And it's usually, I think, in Apache's 200 connection, TCP connection. Right. Obviously, you can change that if you have more memory, but there's default, right? So we have, in this example, we have 6 maximum connections. 3 is used by those guys, right? And what will happen is, let's say you have a bad actor. They ganged up and they say, okay, let's saturate this guy, right? Let's just connect to this guy and then let's exceed the maximum number of connections. So once you do that, poor Joe over here, again, cannot watch Roberto Blake anymore, right? So it says, yeah, you cannot watch it anymore. I cannot view my website because there is no more connection to serve, right? I cannot establish connection. Maximum connection is exceeded. That's the error you're going to get. Obviously, guys, this is also not easy to do because if you try to connect and this just don't do anything, like if you try to connect to a server and just ghost that server, right? You cannot just do that. The server will have preventative measure to time out after certain time if an activity. So you cannot really just connect to the server and says, okay, I'm gonna establish TCP connection, I'm just gonna forget about it, right? You cannot just establish connection and ghost the server. This isn't your ex-boyfriend, okay? So what will happen is, if you establish a connection and then you didn't do any activity, the server will just kills your connection because it knows you're not serious, right? So that's what that does. It does, like, if the connection, it has a preventive measure to prevent bad connections, like bad actors, harmful connection, things that is essentially is useless to the server, okay? So that's what happens here. The timeout is very critical. You connect, If you don't do anything, any activity, I'm sorry, I think I'm gonna kill you. You can always reconnect if you want to, feel free, but I need to serve other users. So I need to keep my number of connections in use, okay? So people can connect, right? So that's in a nutshell what you can do. Always, there is another attack, right? I forgot what's name, but you can connect just one machine, right? Can establish a TCP connection and just keeps it alive. And what it does is it sends the request to connect, and then it sends one byte at a time. It sends very slowly, it sends the data. So it sends it slow enough so that the server still thinks, well, the server knows this. If the server tries to kill the connection, it will say, oh, it just receives another data. Oh, this guy is just slow. I'm going to wait, right? It just resets the timeout. So you can actually essentially write a script, JavaScript or Python, to establish a TCP connection and then sends a git command after a while, sends another byte of data and then sends another byte of data. It sends like a few bytes of the TCP connection, right? And then what you can just make it like 9 seconds and apart. Based on the first, you're gonna measure what's the timeout of the server, and then accordingly you're gonna time your machine. So it's like you take the maximum amount of time right before the server times out. So run the script 200 times, and you just saturated the server. Okay, obviously the server will know. Okay, this guy's really establishing 200 connections to me. It's like, I know I'm hot, but I'm not that hot, you know? So, okay, I'm not that popular to have 200 connections. So from one user. So it's gonna block you. There's a lot of things I don't even know, right? There's a lot of preventative measure and web server to prevent that stuff. Okay, that was the maximum connections based denial of service. Vulnerability based does. And this is quite simple to understand, because if this guy is a hacker and he's just or she's really good, she knows the latest security threats, and she reads a lot, and she just found that this is running a Tomcat, I don't know, 6.0 that is unpatched, and you can easily find the server name, right? Especially if it's comes back, tells it, the server tells you what's the version sometimes, right? And the machine is like, if it knows that there is a buffer overflow attack, and I'm gonna make a video hopefully about buffer overflow attacks, what it can do is it's like, okay, I'm gonna send a malicious string, right, for a given input that is legit input for a given endpoint, right? But instead of sending this fixed length string, let's say hello or your name, I'm gonna send it 500 characters. So what it does is it will overwrite the stack, and it will overwrite the buffer, essentially overwrite that's memory, override the return address for the function which was supposed to be called, and it will essentially wipe up the memory, gets an error, and then the server will crash. Right, the application will crash, at least just the listener will crash. And when the listeners crash, you're no longer listening to port 80. So poor Joe over here, I didn't do the animation for Joe this time. Okay, and poor Joe over here couldn't connect because there is nothing to connect to. The server is not even running, right? Because someone just crashed it. Or even worse, some users will use buffer overflow attacks to send a malicious string that has code in it that eventually will run on the server. And even worse, this guy or this girl will take over the server altogether because this will execute remote code, and then will take over remotely, and then redirect all the traffic to another site and do bad things, right? So sometimes maybe server being down is better, quote unquote, better than actually being taken over by another hacker, which will forward all the requests to somewhere else. Like, imagine all these beautiful tokens that gets received by the server and just sort of forward it somewhere else. All right, guys. Summary, what did we discuss? Denial of service. That's what we discussed. We discussed that denial of service is an attack that allows that essentially the goal of it is to prevent people from serving, right? Prevent servers from serving users, essentially. So deny servers for regular users. And attackers usually use bandwidth-based attacks, so just like saturate the server bandwidth so it doesn't accept more. That's one attack. It happened to Yahoo in the 90s. Okay. Or early 2000, I don't remember. I was in the university back then. So max connections-based attack. Saturate the number of connections so it doesn't receive more of the connections. But usually servers have a lot of maximum connections. You know how many connections WhatsApp server, a single WhatsApp server takes? I think it's 2 million. And that was like 2012 when I read the blog post. They probably now takes 10 million easily, right? So these guys minimize the memory footprint of each TCP connection. So just like barely takes few megabytes or less, much less than that. And they make the server obviously have a lot of resources. And finally, vulnerability-based DOS, which is, I know the server running a bad unpatched version of web server, and I'm gonna use that to attack it to either just bring the server down so that it's no longer listening to port 80 or 443 and or any port really if you're running an application or service, especially with microservices. Check out the microservices video that I did here. I'm gonna reference it here, and or just all together just take over the server, right? And essentially deny server. Well, in this case, it couldn't really deny the service, but what it will do is essentially it will just, maybe it will deny it, maybe it will actually steal data, maybe it does bad things, right? So it will be another type of attack, if you will. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed this video. If you enjoyed it, give it a like. Give this channel a try. Check out the other content of this channel. And I'm going to see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome.